This is PodTech.net. I'm Michael Johnson, and we're here at the Bandwidth Conference. Not so ambient today, but we're here in one of the empty conference rooms. And I'm here with a couple of folks from Live365.com. And Mark Lam, who is the CEO of Live365.com, and also Damon Ferrara, who works in sales there.
At Live. Pro-broadcast.
In pro-broadcast. Welcome both of you to the podcast.
Thank you.
I'm going to start with you, Mark. Tell me a little bit about how Live365.com got started.
It got started in 1997 during the dot-com era, and it's the only survivor from those days. When we got started, we intended to let people, users, generate the content and provide the content and to broadcast to the world. It used to be free broadcasting, free listening, everything was free. And we were hoping the advertising would carry the day.
So this is just all types of music streaming live to whomever.
Correct. I believe we had the broadest and the deepest music in the world, at least in the web, because the content is user generated. So the variety and the depth of music was just incredible. Our philosophy is we want to enable and empower whoever wants to broadcast out there to have a voice. In fact, I think if we do this right, we will become the voices of the web. You know, as you know, currently there are huge media companies that control the whole bandwidth. And we believe that we give people, we are really for the people, by the people, what's the last word?
Yes,
yeah, and off the people. Yeah, in a true sense, and our content is totally user-generated. We don't have programmers like Clear Channel that basically, with their 40, however many stations, just 40, I mean, a few formats that occupies thousands of stations.
So, Damon, what is your role at Live 365 in the network?
I work in our professional broadcasting department, which means we have two main types of broadcasting. One is more supported by Live 365. It's a personal broadcasting package. Listeners pay a fee, or broadcasters pay a fee, but we insert advertising in those streams, so that's a less expensive option. Those for individuals, hobbyists, kids in their dorm room looking to broadcast music. The other side of our broadcasting package is professional. That's for businesses, artists, labels, religious organizations, sports teams. I work in that department, basically fielding incoming leads and also trying to pick our heads up and find out who might use our services. So basically dealing with customers, helping them learn our tools, learn what might work best. You know, they can customize their player, things like that.
Is it all music, or are people actually sort of having their own, you know, for lack of a better word, internet radio stations?
It's not all music. People, if they want to do spoken word or talk, businesses, you know, want to kind of advertise their products, religious organizations want to reach their people, sports teams want to broadcast their games. It's audio, you know, obviously music, I think, gets the central focus and most of the publicity, but it's audio, whatever people want to broadcast.
How much does it cost to get into this? Like, say, if I had a music show that I wanted to do. Now, I know this involves copyrighted material. You know, let's start with that side. Is the cost different if you want to do stuff that's copyrighted or if you're broadcasting original content? Is there a difference there?
Copyright, actually, if it's your own content, then you don't really have to, then it becomes different for Live365 as well because we do not have to pay the royalty. But those contents are very, in terms of percentage, very low. And so in the case of professional, actually, I want to talk about the range also. We broadcast from the like of Harvard University crew team to some college stations that are very well known, KJS down in Long Beach. I believe it's one of the stations with the best jazz content, to churches that want to, the preachers who want to share their sermon with the rest of the world. And I'm sure you have, and then also Santana, the like of Santana, Backstreet Boys, David Navarro, Dave Byrne, and the like.
So they have their own private channel?
Yes, they have their stations streaming through us. Do you have other interesting
The question, too, about the royalties and the difference in pricing with our professional broadcasters, if they're playing copyrighted music, we have the licensing with ASCAP, BMI, and CSAC, and so it just basically worked into their monthly rates. So to get started, it all depends basically. We do it by listening time. you know, amount of time people are listening to a particular station. And then basically $48 a month of their fee is due to the royalties, ASCAP, BMI, and CSAC. So, I mean, to get started, you're looking probably around $100 a month. And that's just, again, based on the quality of the stream and the amount of time. It's cell phone minutes, really. You're paying for a certain amount of time. People are listening to your station. You're trying to approximate it.
I know that one can track sort of where these things go by internet IP addresses. How many countries is this being listened to?
216 countries, to be exact, as of yesterday.
As of yesterday, okay.
Yes.
And do you track this every day, I suppose?
Yes, we track it every minute, actually. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We have an incredible data warehouse and database system.
Does it give you any clout? And sort of, I mean, obviously it reflects with advertising dollars as well. But how does that work, and how does that sort of help carry Live 365 and keep it, you know, keep its mission going?
The fact that we have a broad selection of listeners from all around the world actually do not help us very much in terms of business, because advertisers usually are fairly local. They want a certain target, and because we are so scattered, if you scatter 216. Through 216 countries. We have some of the most remote countries in the world listening to us. So we cannot actually, should I use the word monetize, those streams. But we don't mind, because we are actually, in a sense, spreading the gospel, in a sense. But the gospel of music and their people's love for music.
And sometimes art. The gospel, too.
Sometimes the gospel as well.
Well, in thinking about that a little bit, I mean, it's one of the big things that always comes up at these conferences about distribution of music, yeah. And how many people are saying that, you know, it has to get local, everything has to get local as the availability sort of gets greater. Whatever your program has to be even more niche. How are you going to deal with that?
I think there are two sides to that. Yes, it's true that they had to get local in order to sell certain ads, but I think there are also international brands such as Coca-Cola, P&G, or even Toyota that are seeking for international exposure. The trouble is that even within very big companies, they usually segment them country by country or region by region. So it's very hard to basically get them to all work together to pay for the global reach that we have.
You know, we certainly have these interesting descriptions of the internet as, tubes and other things like this at the government level. Do you think that there's a true understanding at the congressional level?
No, I think at the congressional level there's actually a lack of understanding of what's going on. I think, as quickly you get the attention. In our case, because we are very complex business in many ways, and I have so far spent very little time in trying to do anything in D.C. to try to lobby. And by the way, we do not have the clout or the money that RAA or the labels have. They literally spare no expense in trying to get favorable outcome for themselves, whereas we basically are an independent entity trying to make do with what we have to provide the best service for, the broadcasters, and try to reach all these listeners around the world. I mean, lobbying is not really our forte, but we do believe that more and more the issues raised by the disparity in royalty would come more and more into focus. And I think there's one final point that I want to discuss in this area. That's about the over-assertion of intellectual property rights, or the copyrights, by the labels. We believe this is a case where it's not just copyrights, but copy wrongs that are, imposed on the whole industry.
That's interesting, because I think that certainly with the discussion of the Creative Commons type of arrangements, and I guess as we were hearing from Todd McBride of Network Music, mm-hmm. who it seems like at least some artists are certainly going to a more open model, mm-hmm. as far as the relationship goes to the person listening.
Yeah. Correct. I believe it's long overdue. In fact, labels have so much power over distribution that it was amazing that only relatively very few artists were ever able to make money. There are artists who have gold albums, platinum albums that are not really able to make money. And where did all the money go? I would suggest that it goes to the wastefulness of the labels and their funny accounting. And I think with new technology, we enable the artists actually to get to listeners directly. And labels was a, I think is a relatively antiquated form of distribution. And as time goes by, assuming if any of us survive, we would provide alternative forms of distribution or channels of distribution for artists to reach their audience without having this middleman that takes away all their potential livelihood, let alone profit.
Well, Mark Lamb, CEO of Live365.com, and Damon Farrar, who is in the professional broadcasting department there at Live365.com.
We encourage people to come and visit us. I think we offer some of the most interesting contents in the world, second to none. In fact, I often like to give my antiquated example of a station broadcasting from, a pro station, by the way, broadcasting from Mexico, playing hundreds of renditions of Ave Maria. Just Ave Maria. It's a four-minute clip.
All Ave Maria, all the time.
All the time. It's amazing. You know, the qualities, they got tracks that was sung by Kathleen Battle to various people as well. It's just pure mystical renditions of it.
Thanks for being with us on the podcast today.
Thank you very much, Michael. Really appreciate the opportunity to sit down with you.
This is podtech.net. I'm Michael Johnson, and we're here at Bandwidth 2006 in San Francisco.